If you have your Bibles today, I'd invite you to turn them to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. I'm going to be in several passages today. This is going to be our focal passage. This is a letter to the church at Colossae written by the Apostle Paul. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to begin in verse 15 and read through verse 22. And it begins like this. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. There are many people in the church, and I'm not just talking about Dolan Baptist Church, I'm talking about the church at large, who either do not truly believe what they say they believe about Jesus Christ, or currently believe the wrong things about Jesus Christ. So do you believe what you believe is the question today. I know that sounds like an unusual question, because why would you not believe something you claim to believe, right? And the reason I ask this question is because I believe there are many, many people in our world and even in the church, who do not truly believe what they say they believe. And why do I ask that? Why do I say that? It's because there was a poll taken, and a poll over 2,000 people conducted by this poll called the Harris Poll. They found that in the United States, a poll of adults in the United States, that 74% of adults of these 2,000 people that took the poll, 74 believe in God. And 68% of those believe that Jesus is God or God's Son. So according to this poll, and many other polls that have been taken along this nature, about 70% of Americans believe in God and Jesus as His Son. We could all agree that because someone says they believe in Jesus doesn't actually mean that they believe the right things about Jesus. Because according to this poll, 70% of all Americans are followers of Jesus Christ. And we all know that that is probably not the most accurate statement. So the key question, does it even matter what we believe about Jesus? Does it matter if what we believe about Jesus is true or not? Though our answer may be a quick yes, it does matter. The lifestyle of the vast majority of Americans would suggest otherwise. As long as we believe something about Jesus, we'll be okay. That's what the majority thinks. And sadly, I believe that there are many people in the church who either do not truly believe what they say they believe about Christ or currently believe the wrong things about Jesus Christ. And the goal this morning is to help us determine two things. The first is this: is our current view of Jesus Christ accurate and complete? And the second is this: do we truly believe what we say we believe about Jesus Christ? And I hope to accomplish this by asking three questions. The first of those is this: what do I believe about Jesus Christ? The fact is this, that everyone has an opinion about Jesus. Everyone has an opinion about Jesus. Those that follow him, those that do not. Those that believe in him, those that do not believe in him. They all have an opinion about Jesus Christ. Some believe he's God's son, some don't. Some believe he was just a good man, others believe he's a myth. We all have opinions about Christ, and in order for us to discover what those opinions are, I want you to take some time right now, just about 30 seconds. I want you to take about a half a minute to determine exactly what you believe about Christ. It's going to be some silence. So just maybe you need to write it down or just run it through your mind. What do you believe about Jesus? Chances are, in this room, there may be even many different thoughts about who Jesus is. And though there are many truths about Jesus, not are all correct. So now we have an idea of what we believe about Jesus. Let's move to our next question. Does what I currently believe about Jesus match what Scripture says about Jesus? Because, you see, it doesn't really matter what I believe. What I believe doesn't change what the truth is. Truth is truth, whether I believe it or not. Truth doesn't change. The reason this question is so important is because our souls hang in the balance. You can believe what you believe, but truth is truth. And unless you believe in the truth, there's an eternity at risk. Jesus says in John 14, chapter 6, that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. That is truth. What Jesus was saying is that the only way for us to have a relationship with God, to be saved from our sins, and one day to enter into eternal life is through Christ and Christ alone. There's no other way. So what if we believe about Jesus is wrong or incomplete? We have no hope of being saved. So over the next few minutes, I want us to walk through a couple things. I want us to walk through this chapter that this passage that we read, Colossians chapter 1, 15 through 22, which is possibly one of the greatest passages in Scripture that describe who Jesus is. And I want us to look at that in order to determine in our hearts whether or not what we read in these verses matches what we claim to believe in our hearts about Jesus Christ. We'll focus on five important truths about who Jesus is. The truth number one is Jesus is God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. We humans are created in the image of God, right? Meaning, though we were created in God's image, we still have our flaws that prevent us from being perfectly reflecting that image. Jesus is not created in the image of God. He is the image of God. Meaning, when we look at Jesus, we see a perfect reflection of who God is. The reason that is so is because Jesus is God in the flesh. He is God. John 1, verse 18 says, "No one has ever seen God, the one and only Son, the one who is at the Father's side. He has revealed him." In John 14, verses 7 through 9 says, Jesus said, "If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip then asked, "Lord, show us the Father." Jesus replied to Philip, "The one who has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus is a reflection of the Father. What Jesus was saying to the disciples that when they looked into his eyes, they were looking into the very eyes of God. Jesus, his existence did not begin in a lowly manger. Jesus has always existed. John 1 tells us that. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and took up residence among us." He made his dwelling among us. John used the word "word" to describe Jesus Christ. So if we put Jesus in place of the word "word" in that verse, it says, "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was with God in the beginning." Yet there are some groups who claim that that last phrase in verse 15, "the firstborn over all creation," says otherwise, that Jesus was created by God because he was the firstborn. It's not actually God himself that he was firstborn created by God. But this is a flawed view because in biblical times, the phrase "firstborn" had a different meaning. Okay? Didn't have to mean the firstborn child to a mother or father. In this passage, that's not that case either. The term "firstborn" can be translated as heir or owner or supreme one. And to back this up, all we have to do is turn back to Psalm verse 89, chapter 89, verse 27, speaking of David. God says this of David, "I will also make him my firstborn, greatest of the kings of the earth, the heir, the supreme one." If you're aware of David's family, you know that David was not the oldest. He was the youngest among his siblings. But in fact, the youngest of eight brothers. So in this passage, when Paul describes Jesus as the firstborn over all creation, he's saying that Jesus has the highest honor and is the greatest over all creation, which has to be the case if Jesus is in fact God. To believe in Jesus is to believe that Jesus is God. And the truth number two is that Jesus is the creator of all things. Because in verse 16 it says this, "For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." There's a tendency for us to disconnect Jesus from the Old Testament. I mentioned this morning in our prayer group. It's almost as if we think Jesus only comes on the picture in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 2, Bethlehem. If you're not careful, you can read right over a very important connection Paul is trying to make by using the phrase "in heaven and on earth" in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And once again, Paul is making a demonstration that Jesus was not just an ordinary man, for it was through Jesus that God made everything that exists in the universe. John 1:3 says, "All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing that was created that has been created." Jesus is the creator. It is Jesus who creates the beautiful sunsets that you enjoy, who formed the rugged snow-covered mountain ranges, who sets the stars in their place. It's Jesus who created you. But not only are all things, including you, created by Jesus, but all things, including you, were created for Jesus. Sometimes we make the mistake of believing God created the world for us to enjoy, or that God created our spouse to complete us. There are even times when we're tempted to think that Jesus exists for our benefit, when in fact the very opposite is true. The reason the world exists, the reason you and I exist, are simply for the pleasure of Jesus. We've been created for Jesus. Your purpose, your worth, your meaning comes from the simple fact that Jesus created you for Himself. And until we find our purpose and meaning in Him, we are wasting our time. The only way we can find fulfillment in this world is if we do what we're created to do, and that is to glorify Christ. That's why worship is so important, folks. To glorify Christ, to honor Him. To believe in Jesus is to believe that Jesus is God and the Creator of all things. Truth number three is that Jesus is not only the Creator, but He is the Sustainer of all things. Verse 17 says, He is before all things, and by Him all things hold together. The term hold together literally means to prevent something from falling apart into complete chaos. It's like the skin on your body. Or, you know, Jell-O when it sits in the refrigerator for like 10 days. You know, gets that hard skim on the surface. Can you imagine? That's a bad illustration, isn't it? Because Breck has given me the stank face. Okay. All right. I'll just move on then. Not only is Jesus the Creator of all things, but He's the glue that holds everything together. By Jesus, everything came into existence, and only by Jesus does everything continue to exist. And it's a sobering thought, folks, to think that the only reason you're sitting here today is because Jesus wants you to be here. Because the truth is that Jesus doesn't need us here. He doesn't need anything. He's perfectly complete in and of Himself. Yet in His kindness and His love, He continues to hold things together so that more people would have the opportunity to come and know Him personally. To believe in Jesus is to believe that He is God, that He is the Creator, and that He is the Sustainer of all things. Truth number four is that Jesus is the head of the church. Verse 18 says, He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He might come to have first place in everything. And throughout the New Testament, the church is described as the body of Christ, so that each member of the body has a different role in fulfilling the mission of the church, which is to glorify Christ. And I got to tell you something, if you're a part of this church, if you belong to Jesus Christ, then you have a role to play in making this church what God designed it to be. But if you don't do your part, then this body called Dolan Baptist Church cannot function as God intends. I'm going to say that again. If you don't do your part as a part of the body of Christ, then this body, Dolan Baptist Church, cannot fully function as God intends it to function. But being the church God intends isn't just a matter of doing what we think is best. To be the church God wants us to be, we must fully submit to the will of Christ. The word head means that Jesus is the sole authority and source of power of the church. Your pastor is not the head of the church. The deacons are not the head of the church. Christ alone is the head of the church. Jesus is the only one who determines what we should do and how we should function, because we are His church. The day Jesus ceases to be the head of our church, we will no longer be a church. But in order for us to be His church as a whole, each of us individually must submit to His will. So if Jesus is the head of the church, and each one of us must submit to His will, is He head of your life? Is He the one calling the shots? Is He the one who determines how you live? Because to believe in Jesus is to believe that He is God, and that He is the creator and the sustainer of all things, and that He is the head of the church. And truth number five is that He is the reconciler of God to man. Verse 19 says this, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile everything to Himself by making peace through the blood of His cross, whether things on the earth or things in heaven. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions, but now He has reconciled you by His physical body through His death to present you holy, flawless, and blameless before Him." These verses are clear that it is Jesus who reconciles us to God. We don't do any reconciliation. The term reconcile means to restore a friendship or fellowship after a period of hostility or separation. Though we were all at one time hostile towards God, in that we were all sinners, but through the work of Jesus Christ at the cross, our hostility with God can come to an end. And apart from Jesus, we are enemies of God under His wrath and under His judgment. But in Christ, we can become sons and daughters of God. And it is vital that we don't fall into a trap of believing we're saved from our sin simply because there was a time in our lives when we decided to take action by praying a prayer, by walking down an aisle. No one is saved because of something they did. Remember the frog? Three frogs sitting on a limb overlooking a pond. One frog decides to jump. How many frogs are left on the limb? Three, because he only decided to jump. A decision means nothing without action. A decision to follow Christ is nothing without actual following. We're saved solely, but simply because of what Jesus did for us. To believe in Jesus is to believe that He is God, that He is the creator and sustainer of all things, that He is the head of the church, and that He is the reconciler of God to man. And now that we've determined what we believe about Jesus Christ, and we have heard what the Bible says about Jesus, there's just one more question to answer before we close. The last question is this: how have my beliefs about Jesus Christ altered the course of my life? The fact is this: if we truly believe what the Bible says about Jesus, how could our lives not be drastically changed? Hopefully, you come to the conclusion today that Jesus isn't just someone merely to be added to our life. Following Jesus has nothing to do with adding Him to our lives. Instead, it involves utter and complete awe and submission to the only one who is worthy of our worship. There's an author, his name is David Platt, and he says this, and I'm going to quote, "Jesus is not some poor, puny Savior begging for people to accept Him." You see, Jesus is God, the creator, the sustainer, the head, the reconciler, whether or not we believe that to be true. Whether you believe it or not, it's the truth. Who Jesus is does not change, but those who believe the truth about Jesus and devote themselves fully to bring honor and radically change difference to their lives are changed forever. So I'll ask this question once again. What do you believe about Jesus? Does what you believe about Jesus match what the Bible says about Jesus? And how have your beliefs about Jesus changed the course of your life? Or has your life been changed? And then I guess the follow-up question to that would be this. If your life has not been changed, can you really say you believe what you say you believe? Because I would say this. If you say you believe in Christ and your life has not changed, I would say you don't believe what you say you believe. Because if you really believed what Scripture says about Jesus Christ, you cannot stay the same. The Bible says you can't. The Bible says you are a new creation. You're transformed by the renewing of your minds. You cannot stay the same. Jesus says, come as you are. He never says, stay as you are. If you've come just as you are and you've stayed the way you were, something ain't right. Something ain't right. And if that's you today, let me just say to you, make it right. Make it right. It's not too late. It's just the right time. It's just the right time. Start fresh. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me today. It can happen. The miracle can happen now, today. Maybe you're here today and you began a new life with Christ and something happened along the way. Something happened along the way. You got mystified or misled, or something bad happened in the church and you put your trust in man and man let you down, because man will always let you down when you should have put your faith in God, because God will never let you down. And I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that you got hurt or whatever. But I want to tell you today, refocus your energy, refocus your faith back on God and not on mankind. God will not fail you. And if that's you today, come back to Him. He wants you. He loves you. He desires you. You need Him. I'm not begging you. I'm not begging you. All I'm doing is saying, you need something. You need Him. He wants you. And whether you admit it or not, God has placed a hole in you that wants Him. Do you believe what you say you believe? Scripture is very, very clear on who Jesus Christ is. Has your life matched what you say you believe? Today's the day, folks. Today's the day. We can't really march forward until we firm up what we say we believe. Until how we live and what we really believe matches what we say we believe. We can't really march forward until we've built a foundation. Let's begin it today. Let's begin it today. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank You for Your Scripture that makes it very plain and clear and very simple for us. And Lord, I know that religion leaves people confused sometimes, disillusioned. Well, that's never the way you intended it. Lord, religion is something that man has come up with. Lord, you just wanted relationships. You wanted to walk in the garden with us and talk with us. Lord, that's still what you want. Still what you want. Lord, you're still calling us today into that relationship. And Lord, you've made it very clear that that relationship is only through Jesus Christ. And today, Father, we've looked at just who Jesus Christ is. The Creator. That He is the image of God, God Himself. The Creator, the Sustainer. Our Redeemer, our Reconciler. Lord, thank you. Thank you for desiring us, Father. May we desire you. May we desire you. May our beliefs change who we are more into the image of Christ. And if that's not happening, Father, may we submit more of ourselves until it does. In Jesus' name, amen.